Let me thank Sanjay and David for the invitation, and good afternoon to you all. So this is my, I'm going to use the pointer, much easier. The presentation overview, let me start with the introduction. There are different types of nanotubes. You have multi-wall nanotubes, double-wall nanotubes, single-wall nanotubes. All the nanotubes have some unique properties. I only list a few here. Strong mechanics strength, good hydrogen storage, and also have pretty good electric conductivity. By theoretical calculation, you have a huge surface area. So that's the paper from Langmuir. That's about 3,000 or even higher meter squared per gram. Due to those unique properties, nanotubes actually have been widely used in different sectors. As sensors, due to the high surface area, you have drug delivery in biomedical field. And myself, I play badminton. My expensive badminton racket is labeled nanotube frames. So, you know, of course, I think tennis racket too. So due to those wide applications, someday, if not, probably already, get those nanotubes will get into the environment, such as soil and water. Unfortunately, anything good, you have the negative side. You have those toxicity issues. For example, I list a few called toxicity to human lung cells, inhibits plant development, particularly the seedling stage, generating oxidative stress, also toxic to a whole bunch of bacteria. We and others clearly showed carbon nanotubes have high affinity to organic contaminants, and also dissolved organic matter can be very effective in dispersing and suspending carbon nanotubes. Otherwise, those nanotubes can settle down in water rather quickly. If you have dissolved organic matter, then some nanotube or fraction nanotubes will be dispersed. As a result, the fate of nanotubes and associated organic contaminants will be affected. However, the effect of dissolved organic matter property, such as composition, structure, on carbon nanotube dispersion and absorption, is largely unknown. With that, we came with a couple of hypotheses and objectives. These all, when I say rigid or flexible, it's all on relative terms. So rigid will mean you have more aromatic structures, because that benzene ring relatively rigid compared with the aliphatic chain. The rigid dissolved organic matter contribute to the dispersing and suspending carbon nanotubes. This strictly most likely due to steric hindrance. And suspended carbon nanotubes have higher absorption capacity than aggregate nanotubes. That's our hypothesis. So objective, three simple objectives. First, we try to examine the sorption of DYM with different chemical structures on carbon nanotubes. We're going to evaluate the function of different structures of dissolved organic matter on carbon nanotube dispersion. Then we try to examine the contribution of suspending carbon nanotube to overall sorption for the total nanotubes in a system. You have aggregated one, you have suspended one. We try to see the contribution from the suspended nanotubes. We use two types of multi-wall nanotubes. First one is the hydroxylated nanotubes. The second one is the graphitized nanotubes. Organic matter. We have two types of organic matters. One is from Aldrich Company. Now another one is the lake sediment. So here I have to acknowledge my two former postdocs. They get in the lake nearby their university. We get the sediment. We extract the humic acid. We got two types of humic acid. Then we have one antibiotics as a pro compound. We use the soft batch equilibration technique. Then we went through a series of analysis. The two treatments for those humic acid, one is called bleaching. Basically, you take away, you remove preferentially the aromatic structure from your humic acid. Then another one is hydrolysis. You remove the aliphatic, mainly oxygen-containing functional groups. For bleaching treatment, we treated the sample 24 hours, 48 hours, and 72 hours. In this case, we were hoping to remove certain different amounts, different extent of aromatic structures. Then we freeze-dry them, then we dissolve in base again, then make the dissolved organic matter stock solutions. Then go through those series of analysis like presented in the last slide. Again, that's the batch equilibration technique for DOM soft nanotubes. You mix with carbon nanotubes, you centrifuge and it goes through filtration, then use the TUC analyzer to determine how much on the nanotubes. For dispersions, we use different DOM concentrations, then we use centrifugation, then to see how much nanotube got suspended. When we determine this antibiotic absorption on suspended nanotubes, we mix the background solution with carbon nanotubes. Then we take the suspended nanotubes, we split in two portions, then put into smaller tubes. We put this antibiotic into the both system and equilibrate it for a certain amount of time. Then we analyze this particular antibiotic. So that's properties of two nanotubes. The TEM pictures, you can see the single tubes. For hydroxylated nanotubes, they have a relatively higher surface area. But the graphitized nanotubes, you have a lower oxygen contents that makes it more hydrophobic on the surface. So those after those bleaching, hydrolysis, we did the elemental analysis. You see oxygen contents after bleaching, the different time. Or decreased, then we use this ratio as the indicator of bulk polarity. So you can see the polarity decreased with your bleaching, with the extended time of bleaching. And atomic carbon to hydrogen ratio is a indicator for aromaticity. So you can see after your bleaching, aromaticity decreased. So we did the AMR analysis. This data confirmed the elemental analysis for this lake sediment humic acid. You see that this aromatic region with bleaching, you see aromatic peak decreased with extended bleaching time. Then aliphatic region, aliphatic carbon increased. For this average humic acid, for whatever reason, the aromatic ring is kind of resistant to this bleaching treatment. You by the integration with the peak area, you do see the aromaticity decrease, but not as significant as this lake humic acid. this aliphatic region increased quite a bit. So again, bleaching, you remove the aromatic structures. In hydrolysis, you preferentially remove the aliphatic structures. I summarize this table. So they have bleached humic acid, hydrolyzed humic acid. So for polarity, that's elemental ratio. Lower for the bleached humic acid, then higher for hydrolyzed humic acid. Hydrophobicity, because you remove some of the functional groups, the hydrophobicity will be higher for bleached humic acid, then lower for the hydrolyzed humic acid. The aromaticity, you remove a lot of aromatic structures. That's why I said in the relative term, you remove those aromatic structures, the humic acid become more flexible in comparison with humic acid with more aromatic structures. In general, the aromaticity or aromatic structure of acid humic acid is much higher than the lake sediment humic acid. Then we run sorption experiment to see how much of those treated humic acid on the two carbon nanotubes. Here I only present the lake sediment humic acid. You see the two nanotubes, the bleached humic acid always have a higher adsorption compared with the untreated and the hydrolyzed humic acid for both nanotubes. So this, I said, higher adsorption of bleached organic matter, probably due to the flexible nature and relatively higher hydrophobicity, because if you show a cartoon type of picture in next slide, then the hydroxylated nanotubes has higher sorption than the graphitized nanotubes. That's probably due to the surface area difference. So you know, like hydroxylated nanotube has a higher surface area. So that's the type of a cartoon picture we put in here. You have aromatic structure, then not in comparison with the flexible one. So that push nanoparticle away, nanotubes away. If you have a kind of a rope, you know, you conform like a stick better than the aromatic humic materials. So that's why this one absorbed more than the humic acid with higher aromaticity. So that's either our hypothesis or speculation. So that's what we think. If you forget a lot of the slides, this slide, I hope you remember, okay? So that's the absorbance at 800 nanometers. So in the literature, you understand this slide very well. With increasing absorption of organic materials, you have more suspension or suspended nanotubes. That's in literature reported many times. That's not a surprise. I want to draw your attention at the same loading. Okay, at the same loading, you see the untreated or hydrolyzed humic materials have more amount of suspended nanotubes. So we talk about same loading. So that's a clear indication, that's what I put here. This is more important. So suspension of nanotubes follow this order. So this part underlined, indicating that different chemical structure or elemental composition can be important in dispersing the nanotubes. We talk about same amount loading. So it's not among the issue. If you talk about one humic materials increase loading, increase amount of suspension or amount of suspended, but the same amount of loading, you have more aromatic structure, you have higher amount of suspension. So that's a slide. It's If not, the most important slide in my talk, at least one of the two. It's very messy data in terms of Z potential. Basically, after coating, no significant difference in terms of Z potential, which is good. Now we know the dispersion more or less due to steric effect, not due to electrostatic repulsion, because the potential is more or less the same. So we don't see any significant difference after different coating. So number of negative charge on the nanotube is pretty much the same, but the one with the aromatic structures is kind of pretty bulky. They do not conform like the flexible humic materials. They can easily, like a rope around the nanotubes, or probably some molecules, if big enough, can really grab two nanotubes, maybe three, so become aggregated nanotubes. This one, big enough to push them away. How does that affect adsorptions? So that's the aggregated nanotubes. And it's a suspended system. You see, suspended nanotubes have much higher absorption of these particular antibiotics. This open circle compared with the solid circle, open square squares compared with the solid square. That's just different nanotubes. So suspended nanotubes have higher absorption. This open circle, that's the percentage of nanotube suspended. Then this solid symbols, the percentage of contribution from suspended nanotubes. So you only have about 1% suspended by dissolved organic matter. But the absorption on those suspended nanotubes can contribute to up to 20% of absorption. So that's something to do probably expose the surface due to dispersion. And we use a technique, try to determine. We cannot determine the exposed surface areas in liquid. But we use the relative ratio, suspended to aggregate ratio. You can see at the 15 ppm, the suspended surface area, much higher, this ratio, much higher compared with other concentrations. So that tells us you have optimum dissolved organic matter concentration. At much higher concentration, all the surfaces are covered by humic substance. Then we not contribute much of absorption. With that, I can have some few conclusions. So polarity or aromaticity of bleached humic acid are lower than hydrolyzed ones. Relatively rigid aromatic component of humic materials. They do not have much of a high absorption, but they are playing a more important role in terms of dispersing nanotubes. So dispersion of nanotubes not only controlled, regulated by amount of DOM absorption, but also regulated by what type of structure of these humic materials. So in comparison with aggregated nanotubes, the suspended one have higher absorption for these chemicals, most likely to other chemicals too. So that's the funding agency. I thank you for your attention. If you have time, I can address some questions. Thank you. Chemicals try to remove the aromatic structure from the humic acid.
Okay, so it's just a process?
Yes, chemical treatment.
Yes,
preferentially remove the aromatic structures.
And then
for hydrolysis?
Yeah. Repeatedly hitting
treatment. Yeah, we did the treatment like bleaching. That did not anything beyond 24 hours. We did not see significant change.
We didn't
do very high pH. We didn't do the very high pH.
Have you seen that in the literature?
I'm not aware of. If you have very high pH, I'm sure you alter the structures. Even with our treatment, our goal is to alter the structures. So that's actually one of the criticisms.
Thank you.
Thank you.